Do our thoughts, words, and feelings play a significant role in our outcomes? If so, what can we do about them? We'll find out on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yeah. As always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah. Welcome to Frank Relationships, where we provide a candid, fresh, and frank look into relationships with goals of acceptance, respect, and flexibility. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. You can also find me on ABC's Good Morning Washington most Friday mornings during the 9 o'clock hour. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and if via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get each show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please share it with your friends and family on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super duper co-host, Kwaku.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm good.
Nancy Goring.
What's going on, Frank?
All is well. How's the consummate general is doing?
Great.
Good.
Jeff is looking at me like she better start speaking up.
By the way, she said great. Nobody heard that.
I'm fine.
Today's guest is an author, wellness provider, educator and coach, adventure and wilderness guide with extensive education doing so, training and certification in alternative and complementary medicine, bioacoustics and energy informatic research, and she is also the creator of Heartmonix and the founder of the Ultimate Wellness Network and the Center for Loving Consciousness. Ha. Did you get all that?
Imagine that. All right. Yes.
So, if you, like me, want to know what the heck any of the things that I just mentioned are, how to strengthen coping abilities that allow change with ease, and how to have sustainable heart-centered relationships, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks with Cynthia Gardner O'Neill. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
And, you did really well there.
Did I?
A lot of good Scrabble words.
A lot of good Scrabble words.
Cynthia, before we get deep into your interview, I'm going to check in with the team and you to see if there's anything interesting in the world of relationships. Folks, you got anything for me?
Yes.
I got one.
Oh, okay. Let us defer. Yeah.
Mother's Day just passed recently.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So happy on Mother's Day to all the moms.
Okay.
I had a dilemma.
Ooh.
So I was explaining to my sisters how I thought buying flowers would be corny because flowers cost money. And they die. Uh-huh. They die rather quick. So I said, well, we'll just take her to the movies. Why we got to buy flowers? So my sister... Are you with me that women absolutely love flowers and that flowers are mandatory as it relates to Mother's Day and other events? So, Nancy, I will ask your opinion.
Well, I can tell you, I'm not the one to ask because my mother hates flowers.
Ah.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Okay, so... Yes, my mother does not prefer flowers. In fact, it is...
There's a big difference between she hates them
she does, and she doesn't trust prefer me, them. My mother does not want flowers.
You said hate wasn't a strong
As a matter
word.
Of fact, I discovered along the way trying to compensate for flowers, my mother does love balloons.
Uh-huh.
So I instead of bringing her flowers, always go and get a balloon, but always try to get a signature balloon, you know, like one that's about mm-hmm. the event. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mentioned it because we were at dinner for Mother's Day, and I had purchased.
You and Mom were getting along on Mother's Day?
Famously.
Better than ever.
Better than ever for that, right?
For that day.
So, but I had also purchased, my mom's birthday was Easter, right? Mm. So I purchased this balloon that said, Happy Birthday. Well, the thing sings, okay?
I was going to mention that.
It doesn't sing Happy Easter?
No, this one sang Happy Birthday okay. because that was the occasion I was dealing with. Uh-huh. And so it turns out my dad says, yeah, I'm waiting for that balloon to go down. I'm like, why? He says, because she comes into the bedroom at 5 a.m. and she goes, ding, and the thing starts singing, Happy Birthday to you. And I'm like, Mom! And she says, well, I like it. So it's still vexing the household, mm-hmm. just so you know.
Do you like flowers?
I love flowers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm cool with flowers. Yeah.
But I don't like
different.
The random batch of flowers.
You don't.
No, I'm not a fan of the random batch. I want something that looks like it means something. Because you know every flower does mean something.
Oh, you don't want the ones from the medium in the street.
I mean, you know, I don't make a big deal. I don't make a big deal, but I do love like a deliberately arranged.
Like from a florist.
Yes, sir.
Like from FTD certified.
Yes,
okay, gotcha.
Yes.
That's special, I must say.
Yeah, expensive too.
Yeah, however, I do like that.
I do flowers periodically. Bought my wife roses a few months ago.
Okay.
like really
good
nice
job,
roses.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But I don't think about roses, or I don't think about flowers often, but I must admit, I love having flowers around.
Yes.
Like they really brighten up the area, you know, if they were on the dinner table or the living room.
Live flowers definitely.
No, I was just trying to do something different. It's so, let's get flowers in the car.
Right. I didn't do that for Mother's Day.
So
right,
I was just trying to be different. Right. I'm like, you know, well, none of us have any money. Let's use our resources to go to the movies instead of buy flowers.
Create a memorable experience of cinema.
But I didn't even buy a car.
I like flowers. I mean,
well, wait a minute now. Cynthia has two boys. Cynthia?
Yes.
Flowers or no flowers? What's the story?
No flowers for my boys.
Okay.
Are you mad at them for that, or that's okay?
Oh, no. You know, they realize I live in an environment that provides me with flowers, wild flowers and mm-hmm. everything, mm-hmm. and in my garden and everything. So that's what I love the most. So they instead, you know, visited me in my garden.
Mm. So they have to get a little more creative.
Having them
is what
join me in there.
Yeah, they got like a bag
having
of soil.
Them join me in the flowers. Yes.
Are you saying you're better than us, Cynthia?
No.
Oh my goodness.
So what did they do for Mother's Day?
One of my sons took me out for breakfast.
Okay.
And my other son wasn't close by, so, you know, he gave me a call, and we made plans for to get together. And mm-hmm. actually, I was with them, had an opportunity with them both yesterday.
Nice.
And, it's just their presence, you know. I think that's the nicest thing of all.
No, that's
and you were
cool.
talking about, you know, even the sound of the since you gave your mother a balloon,
yes,
you know, and it sang to her. So, you know, that just hearing their voices and giving me a call and having that experience makes all the difference in the world, just mm-hmm. Touching base with everyone and mm-hmm. and appreciating each other, mm-hmm. you know. I think that's beautiful in itself. So.
I just cooked out. I threw food on the grill, mm-hmm. invited everybody over,
mm-hmm.
and started cooking around 1:00. Everybody okay. was gone by about 9:00.
Yeah.
And that was my Mother's Day. And
that
I
was
to
great.
Enjoy it.
I was just being petty. I was asking.
You were being
flowers.
Petty? Yeah, that's so not you.
Joe, my sister, crazy. She was like, we love flowers. I'm like, I don't think we should do flowers. They die.
They don't die. They multiply.
Okay. All right. All right. What else we got?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So last night, I read this little blurb about how much you should or should not tell your partner about your past. Mm. Thank you, Cynthia. And some of the things that the young woman talked about were kind of dicey. And she said it was already like driving her crazy, but she didn't want to put those things on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to my shock, the people responding to her were incredibly generous. Nobody, like, you know, when people respond online, they can be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keyboard
gangsters. Everybody was super supportive. Everyone encouraged her
to do
to
what?
Come clean.
Okay.
And
about her past.
About her past. And her, and one person in particular said, if he finds out without you telling him, he'll be much more upset than if you tell him.
That's so not necessarily true. I find the conversation about truth and lies to be a fascinating one, because the conversation about truth and lies, we assume that our partner is going to beat us up often when we lie or if we lie and that sort of thing. And there's good reason for that. We often, partners, the whoever's hearing the lie or looking for the lie, often believe that that's like the trump card for being able to beat you up. They see that as, if I catch you in a lie, oh, yes, you lie to me, I could really just go anywhere with it and do anything with it.
Right.
But we don't have to beat our partners up if they lie to us. I mean, because in my estimation, we are all liars. I don't know anybody who doesn't lie.
About something. Okay.
So if that happens, I don't feel the need to beat my partner up. And I don't think my partner just gets to beat me up either.
Right.
Because a lie is, in my humble estimation, a lie just demonstrates that you were not comfortable communicating something to your partner.
At the time.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And if your partner really, really, really doesn't want you to lie to them, they get the opportunity to create the landscape where you don't feel like they're going to want to beat you up, or you don't fear that, believe that, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you'd have to create a heck of a space for a person to feel the level of comfort and safety to bring you just about anything.
Anything that's going on with you. Yeah.
As it is. Mm-hmm. Cynthia?
Yeah, when we're talking about lies here, it's really interesting to even think to myself what it feels like to lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how that makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that I think anyone would just do because it hurts them more than it probably hurts the person that they're lying to.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing. You know, no one likes to really lie to themselves either. Mm-hmm. No one likes to feel like a fraud or any of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So it all begins with, like you were talking about, Frank, you know, the trust that you have within the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And why, if you're in a good relationship, why would you hold anything back and lie in the first place? So I think about being in the present moment. And I think that's a great place to start. Is in the present moment, and just to be honest from the very beginning. So where this person was coming from in this that Nancy was talking about, that she was looking for a lie. This is what I don't understand.
No.
I don't have the full story.
There were things in her past. So she's dating a guy she met in college. She meets up with him again, and they start dating. But in that window between when they met in college and now that they're dating again, she did a couple of things that she obviously isn't proud of. And so she wanted to, and she feels, interestingly enough, that she's going to marry this guy. And so because she's in a place where she feels like she's probably going to marry this guy, she wanted to know if these things were important for her to reveal to him, even though they were a part of her past.
Did she mention what they were in the honor?
One of them that sticks out in my mind, it was two things, but one of them was prostitution, which kind of stood my hair up.
So she's already told. He just got to find the article.
Well, it's already public.
Yeah,
now.
She already published it. I mean, she really has to come clean. Eh?
Well, but you know, in the forum in which she published it, as far as I could tell, there was no way of identifying any of the people who posted this stuff. It's like a public advice column.
Something like that.
I don't think we should marry anybody that we haven't been truthful with about who we are, because actually you're going to end up in a marriage that that you're with someone who isn't loving you for being who you are.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so, you know, I mean, why waste your time not being who you are? This is what a lot of people do when they get into relationships. Mm-hmm. I have a good friend of mine who's been through a few relationships, and she constantly hides things about herself because mm-hmm. she thinks, all right, I can stay in this relationship if I hide this part of me, because I think he'll like me more mm-hmm. if he doesn't know about this. And so what is she doing? She's putting herself in a situation where she's not being who she is, and she's going to have to live this lie the whole relationship. And once she lets that out, and this guy, like, you know, all of a sudden goes, hey, I didn't know that about you when we got into this relationship. I don't like that about you. You know, gosh, what a horrible thing to do to yourself, is to hide maybe a piece of you that actually, it's a part of you.
I question
what
that.
What you ended up doing is you're not allowing for yourself to be in a relationship that loves you for being who you are.
Mm-hmm. I think there's merit to what you're saying, Cynthia, and I also question it. Because at some level you're saying it's important for us, and as I say this, I really get it. At some level you're saying it's important for us to reveal so that our partner can love us as we are.
Okay.
But on the other side, it's important for our partner to love us who we are, even if we're not revealing. Our partners can still love us if we reveal. And they can even love us knowing that we're not revealing. It's actually a very loving thing to do.
But do they know you're not revealing?
I think so.
So that's the definition of living a lie.
No.
Well,
yeah. No. Okay.
Well, I think
okay.
We're talking about acceptance here.
We are absolutely talking about acceptance.
Yes. The big A word. Okay.
Yeah, the big A word.
Yeah. You know what? Let me just say this. A couple of things. And goodness knows I should have been an adult when I got here, but I have to say I am. Let me just say, growing up on the Frank Love Show. Okay. What I mean by that is I heard a show where I heard you say that it's okay with you for your partner to lie mm-hmm. to you. And it changed me forever.
Mm.
Okay. And the other thing that happened to me several years ago is in a class, that I was taking on world religion. One night, the instructor says, no one, he says, listen, friends, be clear. No one is telling you everything about themselves.
Yes.
He says, and to tell you, he says, because to tell you everything about themselves would be to make you their God.
Yes.
And he says, so trust me, it's not happening.
And to add to that, in order for that not to be the case, a person would literally have to tell you the things that they're thinking about. and working out in their own head.
You'd be on hyper.
Yes, and they would not have the opportunity to digest things on their own, to mull things over, to they won't even have the opportunity to not know, because they'd have to communicate with you things
Everything.
That they don't know
right.
and what they're weighing. That's the only real way people cannot lie to you.
And let me just say, you can tell a person the truth, and while you're together, you're still evolving as a being. And you listen, you can tell me everything about your past, and that still doesn't necessarily give me a window into who you're going to be from this point forward.
Or even who you are now.
Now, it doesn't guarantee us anything.
Would you agree certain things you withhold can cause your relationship not to flourish or move forward because of something that you're withholding?
Sure.
I don't
sure.
know.
Sure. But let me, okay, but let me say this before you jump in, Cynthia. And I, oh my goodness, it is so powerful how this thing plays itself out. So there's this phenomenon called universal law, right? And in the game of universal law, it's as above, so below. So here's my position. If I'm holding something from someone, I can pretty much guarantee they're holding something from me. The question is, what is it? And so it's easy to look and say, oh, not necessarily. I just lived that this past weekend, and it stood my hair up. I was like, oh, my goodness, I knew it. I knew it.
You're going to tell the story, or you're just going to leave it there?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay.
But what I'm getting at is, rest assured, if your partner is keeping something from you, search your own heart. Because the thing you're keeping, you may not consider it to be something worth telling to you.
Yes, that's right. Big lies can be big lies to you, but little lies to that person.
Right.
Yes.
Or inconsequential to the other person. But you could be keeping something. I had a friend that said her daughter was lying to her. So I said, well, be careful, Nancy. If you tell her you must be lying to somebody, she might get offended. So I said, well, you might want to, I said, you know, in the thing, you know, in the idea of as above, so below, you might want to look and see where you might be doing that. And she said, oh, yeah, maybe when I was younger. And I thought, okay, if that's where she can go with
it. That's a start.
Yeah. But then later on in the conversation, we're talking about something totally different. And she acknowledges that her husband's a little annoyed because he found out she was spending money that he didn't know she was spending. Now, she didn't qualify that as a lie, but he didn't know she was spending the money. So as far
as she knew he didn't know.
And she knew he didn't know, and then he found out, so he was irritated, but she didn't consider that a lie.
So what are you referencing, Kwaku? Like an example. What's an example of?
You mentioned she said she did prostitution for a time.
Yes, she did.
I mean, that's kind of difficult to admit.
It is. You said
omit or admit?
Omit. Both.
Omit.
Omit. Both. You know, we went to school. I graduated. I started working at a restaurant, prostitute for a little bit. And then that's that one right there is, you know, I agree with everything you all saying, but certain things.
You want to know.
I just need to know. Right. I'm going to give you a funny example. So I had this conversation recently with my fiance. And we mentioned, we had a general conversation, and the question came up, well, how many have you?
Are you serious?
And I said, I don't need to know.
She asked you?
It was not like.
Or the question was just in the air.
Someone threw it up in the air.
Was it one of you?
So 10 years from now, if she listens to this, I need to be able to say that I generalize it, babe. The question got thrown up in the atmosphere.
Yes.
And both of us were required to answer that question.
Wow.
Wow.
And one of us may have just thrown out, well, I said, I told you I did not need to know that information. Because your mind will wander when you find out certain things. And even if you didn't want the information, now it's like, so you're counting on your fingers. Certain things you don't need to know, but certain things you should have a conversation about because they can affect the overall
relationship.
Relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Well, Yeah, well, you know, it was interesting to hear what Nancy was saying about, you know, being on this show for how, you know, and how much she's grown from the experience she's had with you guys. So this is the same thing about, you know, our, you know, about lies or about sharing our experiences with people. Is, are we the same person today that we were yesterday? And we change with every experience that we have in our lives. So also, you know, having, oh gosh, you know, being in our hearts, when we speak to people and, you know, can you tell when someone's lying to you, or can you tell when someone is speaking to you and you're thinking, I don't know if this person is telling me the truth, or I don't think this person is being authentic with me. Do you ever feel that way? Or even when you walk into a room and you're talking to maybe four people that you might have just met, and is there one over the other that you feel is not being authentic, that they're not really being truthful?
Absolutely. It happens.
Anybody ever feel that way?
Yes.
Right?
1,000%.
Well, a lot of that, so that, you know, you guys have, you know, in the very beginning when you introduced me, I teach a thing called harmonics. And harmonics is about the vibrations of the heart, or the harmonics of the heart. And actually, our voices are speaking what's in our hearts. And so also our hearts are 60 times more amplified than any parts of our body, and 5,000 times more electromagnetic. So the first thing we experience when we come into an environment with someone else is we're feeling their hearts. And a lot of people don't know this. And this is how we communicate. This is one of our first ways of communicating within relationships, is within our heart. The next thing, too, if you hear someone's voice, the heart, that vibration of what's in the heart is, you know, passing through the vagus nerve, passes through the vocal cords. And that comes from the heart. And so the vibration that's in your words is coming out. So a lot of times when we're talking to someone, we might be sitting there going, I wonder if this person's really being honest with me. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is, but actually, you know, we're feeling it. We're feeling whether this we can trust this person. We're feeling whether we should even be with this person.
So then,
like,
are
is
we
this
ever
a person
really
I want to stay with
to?
The rest of my life?
What'd you say, Nancy?
No, yeah, that's a good one, Nancy. She said, are we ever really being lied to? Well, on the energetic level, no, because it's all out there on the table. But the thing is, are we feeling? And we are so desensitized in this world, especially here, you know, in the United States, a lot of desensitizing happens. And when how do we know what to do with our life? Go ahead.
By way of television and so many images that come at us so quickly, so often?
Yeah, well, the interferences, you know, even cell phones. I mean, that's a huge interference with our own energy. You know, cell phones are the electromagnetic frequencies of the cell phone are a digital frequency. And humanity, we are analog. And there's a huge difference. It's like cell phones are like being under a sewing machine and needle, you know, when you're going through. And it really disrupts our own frequency of our hearts, our own connection. Absolutely.
One of the things that you said, you mentioned a key word, and that's feeling. And I have a conversation that I'm having with myself pretty regularly. And it is, what's the feeling? What's the feeling to address? And often when we're interacting with people, particularly me, I can really say this about myself. Often when I'm interacting with someone, I'm listening to the words, and I'm often listening to the words to go back and forth about the meaning. It could be argue, it could be explain further, it could be a litany of things. However, what I find to be the most positive and most beneficial is when I'm listening for the feeling, and not even maybe listening for the feeling, where I'm I'm looking to extract the feeling. So you can get the feeling by not just listening, by watching. You know, you can have an idea of what someone 20, 30 feet away is saying to whoever they're talking to just by watching them without being able to necessarily hear the words they're using. So what's the feeling to address, I find, is a rich opportunity. And when I take a step back, which is not as often as I would like it to be. I mean, I'm growing in this manner. But when I take a step back and go for the addressing the feeling, it really does make a big difference. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, Cynthia, in my own words.
Yeah, and I love that you brought up feeling, because I believe feeling is a strength.
Yes.
Feeling, you know, gives our emotions an experience. Mm-hmm. The same way our five senses, okay, in our physical senses, gives our body an experience.
Say that again.
And
feelings give our emotions a experience.
An experience.
Mm.
Now, you know
so
what,
we have
Cynthia?
This energy in motion going, right?
Yeah. But some people some people listening to this are going to say feelings and emotions are the same thing. Can you distinguish them?
Oh, many people, you know, always say that to me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, take a moment and feel. What are you feeling right now? Now, is there emotion in that feeling? So the thing is, we are already energy in motion, which is emotion, okay? We're already energy in motion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't even understand that because we're such physical beings, but a lot of people don't have an experience with being energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing I do in a lot of my teaching when I educate. Is I have an opportunity to give people this. I have this Rosie doll that has these connector points. I get people in a circle.
This isn't Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
I want to clean that up right now.
Yeah, right.
Sticking pins in the Rosie O'Donnell doll.
Yeah, the Rosie O'Donnell doll. Well, when I get people in a circle and she begins to sing when we all connect up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that helps people have an experience with their own energy. And because it's so unseen. And so if we're energy in motion, we need to go have an experience with something, okay? And when we have an experience with something, we feel something. You know, feeling, I believe that no feeling, no healing. You know, we can't do anything if we don't have an experience with it. You know, you never have a relationship. You can't have a relationship if you don't have an experience with something or someone. Mm-hmm. Even an atom has to have an experience with another atom to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so feeling is like our sixth sense. We feel with our heart. They say with the new science of the heart, what they say is we feel first before we think.
Mm. Okay.
That's interesting.
That's okay. New?
Yeah. So
to be able to say it, I think, is maybe new.
Yeah. Because most people think their thinking is they think first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, as I said earlier, you know, the heart is 60 times more amplified than any part of our body.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going out from our heart, okay, that's what's going out, you know, from what's inside of us. And what's coming back to us, you know, they say the heart, what we can measure is 5,000 times more electromagnetic than any part of our body, okay? So what we're putting out from our heart is coming back to us 100 times plus.
Okay.
What's putting out is coming back. So and out of all your body, you know, even your brain, your heart is the main communicator. In fact, the heart is the central communication center of every single cell in your body.
I'm going to diligently work during this interview to keep us on the ground, because I can go there with you. I could float up in the air and I could really get into the spirit. You know, I could really feel the interview without considering and channeling our audience. And so it's important for me to channel the audience to make sure what we're talking about is fully understood, and also to make sure I fully understand. So what's your story? Where'd you get started? Where'd you come from? Why do you do what you do?
Well, we speak about relationships. My story just comes from a place of, you know, a difficult childhood, which we hear, you know, a lot of people talk about having traumas in their life and everything. And through that difficult childhood, I had experiences where, you know, I went through many years of rape and sexual abuse and all those kind of things. And I had to understand what was happening to me. You know, I was paralyzed when I was a kid during that time, and it was my way of protecting myself. So once I got away from that, my life changed tremendously, even my health and everything else. So I just sought out in this lifetime about why it is that, why do people, some people suffer and go through these experiences of illness and disease, and other people don't. And so I went out searching for the answers.
What is the
answer? Well, it all has to... The answer for me is how... it's all about love. You know, I love teaching loving consciousness, mm-hmm. the core of who we are. Mm-hmm. And one of the, you know, I think a lot of people, we don't really know what love is. We're never taught what love is.
That is so powerful.
Many people, you know, a lot of my clients, I ask them, what motivates you to get up in the morning? What motivates you to get up in the morning? Mm-hmm. So what motivates you guys to get up in the morning?
On Thursdays, the show. And we're laughing, but that's the fact of the matter is it is the show. It's like the most fun I have all day, so I can't wait to get here.
Right. But what's so at the core of that, if you keep going and you break that down, so do you love coming in and coming to the show?
Yes.
Does it make you feel good?
Absolutely.
It's all right.
Right? Don't mind him.
Security.
He's
a hater. Security.
Frank,
get the hate security here.
What motivates you to get up in the morning?
What motivates me to get you? These days, I get up first. I think everything boils down to love and a desire to be loved. So, and what I'm about to say goes there too. At some level, we keep peeling back whatever I'm about to say, and we get to a desire to be loved. And these days I get up pretty much at 5:30, 5:15 in the morning, and I go to the gym, and I enjoy working out. It gets that out of the way every day. I mean, one of the things I used to have a issue with during the day is, when am I going to exercise? I want to exercise. When am I going to exercise? It would be like a weight on my shoulders. And it wasn't until I got that done during the day that I had that weight come off and another weight put on. And why do I want to exercise? Well, I want to be healthy. And why do I want to be healthy? I want to be around to take care of my wife and my children. And why do I want to do that? Because I love them. And why do I love them? Yeah. You know, it boils down to I want to be loved and accepted.
You know, for me, mm-hmm. it's I do it every day, and I think too often I think this way.
You mean you get up every day?
Listen, I'm building it up, bro. I get up every day to motivate myself to be motivated. So oftentimes I get caught up in the conversation I have with myself is, like Frank just said, you got to work out. When are you going to work out? So I'll spend most of the day trying to convince myself that you need to be motivated to work out. Mm-hmm. So I'm surrounded by love. Mm-hmm. But I think too often for me, my focus is motivate myself to be motivated. Mm-hmm. That's just
so that what?
So I'm not that guy who sits around all day, or the guy who would prefer to just observe the world.
The family guy.
Yeah, yeah. And just
couch potato.
Yeah, so it's like part of it is my personality type. The other mm-hmm. part is mm-hmm. sometimes I don't feel like doing anything. Yeah. But I understand that's not how I should be. Okay. So I'm constantly motivating myself to be motivated.
I hear you.
Okay. That's just generally speaking. I have plenty of days where I'm just like, let's get it, let's do it. But sometimes that's my thought. Wake up, okay, you know what? You can't lay in the bed. So get up and motivate yourself to get mm-hmm. to work. Come home, take care of the kids, do whatever you need to do, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so where are you taking us, Cynthia? And I know you got somewhere we're going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I love that you were talking about, you know, how you take care of yourself. And, again, this brings us back to, you know, the self-love also, the core of who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think it has a lot to do with contribution also mm-hmm. in this world. You know, motivation and the love is how can I contribute more love into the world? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, if they don't feel loved or love in their lives and everything, you know, you end up being this couch potato, and you're not sure what to do with yourself, and there's no motivation because you don't feel you have anything to contribute. If we don't love ourselves, you know, the core of who we are, how can we love others? How can we show our children how to love? How can we motivate ourselves and others to do good things and be compassionate with one another and accepting of one another?
Yes.
At ground level, it's all about love.
So you're saying that at the center of our capacity to love is this notion that we have something to contribute.
I believe that, yes. I believe contribution is huge. I find a lot of people that I've been introduced to that someone has asked me, can you help this person? They're in a place where they're wanting to almost take their life. They don't feel like they have anything to contribute to the world. They don't think they have a reason for being here. Mm. And that means to me that there's an empty heart, you know, that love, the core of that our heartbeat is important. I think each individual's heartbeat is the signature sound of who they are, and every single one of us have a contribution to give to this world, and that is our love.
What I heard her say mm-hmm. and what I'm feeling that she's communicating mm-hmm. is our love for ourselves allows us to listen to ourselves and see what we're going through. And when we're able to listen to ourselves and be compassionate with ourselves and accepting with ourselves, and we know how screwed up we are, it allows us to be compassionate with whoever else is in our world and what we see them to be doing that's screwed up, because we know that we're just like them.
On some level.
And often we are so good at hiding who we are or building ourselves up to be something. Yet, and only we know who that is or whatever we are building ourselves to be. But, and we get the moral high ground to judge other people mm-hmm. because those other people don't necessarily know who we are like
or
we do.
Or are not.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes.
And so, yes, who we are or who we are not.
Yeah.
And yet, and we get the moral high ground to beat other people up. Mm-hmm. When you really get honest and compassionate with yourself, you don't feel the need to beat up other people because you realize you don't want anybody to beat you up.
You're one of them.
And you're one of them. You are absolutely one of those screwed up people.
Yeah. So it sounds like, Cynthia, there are these companion feelings, for lack of a better expression. One is that at our core, we have something to contribute. However, on the flip side, we don't necessarily either feel that we have something to contribute or that the thing we have to contribute is enough. Because otherwise we wouldn't put ourselves in this place of pumping ourselves up to be better than someone else or find some place where we can take a moral high ground or any kind of high ground and look down on another person. Mm-hmm. Underneath of that is this sense that who we are is insufficient to the task.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we have reflection going on there. You know, if we're not valuing ourselves, how can other people value us?
Right.
You know, and a lot of people walk around with that self-worth issue, you know, or even feeling validated. And when you have that experience going on, other people are feeling that. That's where we get back to the heart, you know, or lying to ourselves or whatever. People feel it. They don't know what it is a lot of times, but sometimes you don't get treated very well.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when we look back at ourselves and we say, God, how come this person's treating me like crap?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at ourselves. How are we treating ourselves? Are we criticizing ourselves? Are we knocking ourselves down?
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're doing to ourselves, other people will do the same thing.
They're mirroring that.
Yeah, mirroring. Absolutely. I call that sacred mirrors.
We're talking with the creator of Heartmonix and the founder of the Center for Loving Consciousness. She is Cynthia Gardner O'Neill. Cynthia, would you please tell our listeners what you're up to and how they can find you?
Well, I am up to creating a program called the Heartmonix Approach, which is harmonizing the discordant rhythms of the heart that cause pain, anguish, and overwhelming stress. And the importance of harmonizing the rhythms of the heart is significant to your, you know, to wellness providers and to you as an individual. And so you can go to heartmonix.org and you can find out more about all that. And it is about harmonizing the heart and how important that is to the world. Because your heartbeat is the signature sound of you, and your love is what contributes wonderful things into the world and can really heal not only yourself, but others. So.
What's a book that you can recommend? Like, give me a great book.
One of my favorite books ever is Love Without End. And it was written by a woman named Glenda Green. And it's my Bible. And it is just beautiful, the stories that are in there. And it's about, you know, the love without end, Jesus speaks. And it is about the love that he was here to teach. And so I recommend that highly above anything else. So.
Cynthia, what is a flower essence practitioner?
That's
well,
me.
Since we were talking about flowers earlier, you know, flowers and plants, flowers and plants and everything have a life source energy, the energy of the plants. And we were talking to energy and motion and all that stuff earlier, but a flower essence practitioner, I work with the life source energy of plants. And so I'm a wilderness outfitter. I actually, during the summers, take people into the wilderness on horseback, and we have an overnight camp near Crested Butte, Colorado. And I love taking people out on a wildflower and horses riding workshop. So I teach about what the flowers are speaking to us. And when you talk about colors and the essence of the flower, if you look at a flower, each, you know, so many different flowers, right? And each flower has its own personality. Each flower has its own essence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a bit like us human beings. You know, when you look at a flower, do you ever see a flower and think it's ugly?
No.
Okay. This is about the acceptance that we should be having for one another, because a flower is different colors, different shapes, different sizes. It smells differently. It, you know, just the structure of it, the form of it, everything. And that's the same thing with every individual. But do we see the beauty in each one of us? No. But we do see that the beauty in every single flower. Even a rose that's been in the ground and is molded and maybe, you know, dying and everything, is still a rose.
And you're able to take the essences of those flowers and impact different types or qualities of healing?
Yes, absolutely, because they a flower essence, depending on the environment and where it's coming from, is still carrying the essence of that. And as we were talking about mirroring one another, or mirroring what we're experiencing on the outside of us is actually what's going on the inside. Same thing when a flower comes into your experience. So when you're giving a rose on Mother's Day, there's a feeling that comes with it. There's an essence that comes with that flower,
you know,
that
what?
Either resonates with that person or doesn't.
You know, I want to share something with you real quick and with
the
audience.
The rest of us? Okay.
And even you, Frank. So yes, Cynthia and I, Cynthia and I had a conversation a couple of days ago preparing for today, and I had a microcosmic opportunity to experience some of what she does. So when Cynthia called the second time, I was in the throes of a petite upset. And so
not you.
Indeed. These things do happen. I do get away from myself from time to time. So I have a conversation with my mom about going out for my dad's birthday, and she's chosen a restaurant that I
don't like.
Thank you. I was going to use the word despise, but despise is a strong word. I want to I want to roll it in, right? So Cynthia happens to call minutes after I get out of this conversation, and Cynthia says, "Well, how do you feel now?" I said, "I'm irritated." So she says, "Well, how would you rather feel?" And I said, "I'd rather feel peaceful." So she said, "Oh, okay, write that down." So I wrote down, "I'd rather feel peaceful," right? So Cynthia says, "You might want to write that down again." So I do, unbeknownst to Cynthia, I write it down 7 times. Mm-hmm. And truly enough, over the course of just being in the conversation with her and writing down, "I'd rather feel peaceful," I start to feel better. And I mention this because you're talking about flower essences and I'm thinking about how basically you helped me to take a similar phenomenon, meaning the energy or essence of the words we use to describe how we feel, to transition out of an uncomfortable space. So I start feeling better. The conversation with Cynthia goes on. And what I didn't have a chance to share with you, Cynthia, was that after our conversation, I felt 100% better, almost like the interaction with me and my mother never happened. Well,
now, see, you never told us it was your mom.
Well, it was my mother, right?
Now we're getting
so I go through the rest of my day. I go home, and lo and behold, I pull up in front of my house, and who would be headed my way but my mother, right?
It wasn't who would be beheaded.
No, there was no beheading going
okay.
on. I had just flipped around and parked my car. My mother's heading in my direction. She actually had to stop and give something to a neighbor. So I'm like, okay, this is it. This is it. I'm going to have this conversation with her about going to this restaurant. I'm going to let her know that I don't want to go, and how I felt in the conversation earlier, because I'm thinking that's what it means to get clear, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, she pulls up, and my auntie is in the car, and she's hyped. My mother's on, she's just wired, right? So I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't the time to have this conversation. So I let it go, and I'm still in a good place. She's in a good place. Well, lo and behold, yesterday, my mother calls Cynthia and says,
called Cynthia?
Calls me.
Okay.
I'm saying Cynthia to give her closure on the incident. My mother calls, suggests a completely different restaurant that I don't mind at all. And now we're going someplace totally different. She's happy. I'm happy. And she says, "Well, I'll have to check in with your father and see how he feels." I said, "Mom, let me just say for him, he loves the idea." So just so you know, changing the way you, even the way you language how you feel. It's like, okay, I'm feeling like crap right now. Well, the key question was, how would I rather feel? And when I hung out in that space, before I know it, that is how I felt. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can sound a little oversimplified, But if it works, work it.
Mm-hmm. A little oversimplified, long story.
Sorry, Cynthia. It is sure. Frank's show.
Actually,
but it is about
it's Cynthia's show today.
Thank you, Cynthia. I just want to say thank you, really.
Thank you for receiving.
Sure.
Cynthia, how do you strengthen coping abilities that allow you to change with ease?
Oh, my goodness. Changing coping abilities. Well, it's so much easier to cope with things when you're at peace inside of yourself, when you're at harmony with, you know, in your heart. You can make wiser decisions. And when we are harmonized in our hearts, you don't get taken out that easy. You don't take things personally. I think this is the biggest thing that happens to people is they take other people's stuff personally, mm-hmm. as if it's about them. And this is, again, about what interferes with our own sense of being is a lot of times we take on other people's stuff thinking that, you know, it's ours. Mm-hmm. You know, so we cope so much better when we are love ourselves and create harmony within our hearts. And that way there isn't a discordant energy going on, you know, so that we get triggered easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't make it about ourselves. You know, when we get triggered, when we get uncomfortable and we don't know how to deal with a situation, it basically comes from a discomfort that's within you. It's your feeling about the situation.
Yes.
And a lot of times people will blame others for how they feel. Mm-hmm. And we need to take responsibility for that. So once people begin to take responsibility of what they're feeling inside of them, it makes it so much easier for conversation to happen, for communication to happen, to be more authentic and honest with ourselves.
Understanding.
You know, here we come understanding.
Acceptance.
You know, I have 5 levels of consciousness mm-hmm. I like to work with. Mm-hmm. And it starts first with awareness. A lot of people, it's important for them to be aware of what they're feeling. And, you know, when people are in pain, they think that it's always going to be that way. Mm-hmm. And they're not aware that they don't have to stay there. So my first thing is the first level of consciousness, aware, to become aware of where you're at. No feeling, no healing. Mm-hmm. And then once we are aware that of what that is and that we can change it, we go to receiving the knowledge. So that's the second level of consciousness, is receiving knowledge mm-hmm. that helps us change what's going on that we're uncomfortable with or that we're unhappy with. Mm-hmm. And once we receive that knowledge, we have more understanding. That's the third level of consciousness. When we begin to understand and say, oh, I get that, I see, you know, here comes the light, it's flowing in. And the next level, the fourth level of consciousness, I say, is acceptance. Accepting ourselves, accepting others. And when we begin to accept one another and ourselves, we move into the fifth level of consciousness, which is love.
Beautiful.
That loving consciousness.
Beautiful.
You know, that
said.
Self-love. And all of those have to do, they start with self.
Nice.
And just to be a little woo-woo with you guys, I believe the acronym for self is Source Energy Love Frequency. You are that Source Energy Love Frequency. So let's just increase the dose of love and just rock it, you know, into the world. And so that's our contribution to the world when we get back to contribution. And, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., he says, I love a quote that he has, and he says, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And when I heard that quote, I thought, you know, the most wonderful thing that I feel I can do for others is to love more, to increase that dose of love into the world and harmonize my heart with each time I harmonize my heart, I help others do the same. And I always say what I'm learning, I teach best. When I'm healing inside myself, I heal in others.
Absolutely. We've been talking with the creator of Heartmonics and the founder of the Center for Loving Consciousness, Cynthia Gardner O'Neill. Cynthia, one more time, last time, please tell our listeners what you're up to and how they can find you.
Well, you can find me at heartmonics.org, and I am providing programs and courses on learning about the heart. I call it the Heartmonics approach. And it is all about harmonizing the heart and increasing the dose of love into the world.
Along today's journey, we've discussed self-worth, whether to love or require revelation first, and changing coping abilities. I hope you've learned as much as I have talking with Cynthia Gardner O'Neill about using our hearts to improve our outcomes. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/relationshipflove. On Twitter at Mr., that's M-R, Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there. And if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show each week. This is Frank Love.